Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard, and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning in to the Dr. Maxine Thompson Show. This show airs every Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information about this show and listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/maxinethompson.htm. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle at @artist_first. And now here's your host of the Dr. Maxine Thompson Show, Dr. Maxine Thompson.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning in to the Dr. Maxine Thompson Show. I'm Dr. Maxine Thompson of MaxineThompsonBooks.com and MaxineThompson.com. As you know, I'm the author of award-winning novel, The Ebony Tree, award-winning novel, Hostage of Lies, short story collection, A Place Called Home, and latest novel, L.A. Blues, and upcoming novel, L.A. Blues 2, which is due out on May 29, 2012. I'm a contributor to best-selling anthologies, Secret Lovers, Never Knew Love Like This Before, and All in the Family. I also have ebooks available on Amazon.com that are part of the Hush Hush Secrets of Writing Fiction that sells, and the Hush Hush Secrets of Making Money as a Writer. Tonight, we will be discussing a timely subject. It deals with a life-threatening situation. We have a recent documentary, The Weight of a Nation, which has been devoted to this topic. Diane Carbonell has written a book from her life experience. The book is entitled, 150 Pounds Gone Forever, How I Lost Half My Size and You Can Too. Good evening, Diane. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Well, thank you. I have a personal interest in this for myself as well as for the listeners. So when I saw your book, I mean, it just jumped out at me. And I want you to tell about yourself, where you're from, marital status, children, and what brought you to this point in your life.
Well, I certainly can do that, and I'm happy to share. I am from the Mid-South. We live in West Tennessee right now, but I did grow up in Florida, and so kind of more consider myself a Florida native, although we certainly are enjoying Tennessee. We moved here for my husband's job. My husband John and I have been married for 25 years, and in those 25 years, we have 7 children. We have 2 girls and 5 boys, and in my life, I was never overweight, really, until I got married, and then I started to put on the weight. So I always joke with John that it was his fault, you know, that I had to write this book because I gained all the weight after I married him, but of course, that's not true. So during our first 3 years of marriage, I gained about 50 pounds, mainly because I was sedentary and because we went out to eat all the time. So between those two things, you know, high-calorie restaurant foods and just sitting around and working at my office, you know, job every day and riding in the car and never really walking around or getting any exercise, I gained 50 pounds. And then when we had our first child, after we'd been married about 3.5 years, I gained 75 pounds with that pregnancy.
Wow.
So that put me on the path to being morbidly obese. And I bounced around between like 280 and 300 for the next 6 years before I finally lost 158 pounds in total.
You had 7 children, you gained 75 with the first child. With the other children, had you already lost the weight or did you?
I had 3 children when I was obese. And then I lost the weight and then I had 4 more pregnancies. So I had to lose weight, you know, after each of those last 4 pregnancies to bring me back down to where I still am today.
Wow. How much did you gain with the last 4 pregnancies? Did you stay within the 30 pounds or 25 pounds?
The first one I did, I think because it was so soon after I had lost the weight, I was really nervous about whether I would gain 75 pounds again. So that one, I really had kind of that textbook pregnancy weight gain. I gained, I think, about 27 or 29 pounds, somewhere in there. And then I lost it right away. And I told my husband, I said, oh, this is why doctors tell you to only gain that much weight. because it really is easy, relatively easy to lose.
Right, because you lose so much from the water and the baby and the placenta and all that.
Then you just have a few pounds, really, you have to kind of work on. The next three pregnancies, I had a lot of back problems, and so I did probably gain more like 40 pounds. And I had to work, you know, hard to get those off, especially my last pregnancy because my youngest child's only four, so I was 42 when I had him. So I think the older you are, you know, you just have to work a little harder to keep, get that weight back down, you know, to where it should be.
Well, what was your, I know you have it in your book, could you describe what was your, where you hit rock bottom? Because I think we all have a kind of a turning point when we're trying to lose weight.
We really do. And every person I've talked to that has successfully lost weight does have that, kind of like you put it so well, hit the rock bottom, you know. And I definitely hit rock bottom at one point. When, after I gained the weight with my first daughter, and I never lost it, and just kind of, you know, bouncing close to those 300 pounds, I constantly dieted, like so many people. You know, I was either on Weight Watchers, which is a great program, or I was trying some magazine diet or some, you know, book I had read, or just trying again to do it on my own. I mean, my friends were always asking me how my diet was going because I continually lived in diet mode, you know. And, but even while I was obese, I was starting to just, my self-esteem just kept getting less and lower and lower. You know, and I would walk into a room and I would just feel so ashamed of really being the biggest person in the room, because I always was. I never knew anybody in my life at that point that was bigger than I was. You know, and then the more embarrassing things that happened to me, the harder it became, you know, just to kind of go out in public sometimes. I mean, I would make myself, I didn't become a recluse, but I would just dread, you know, going out in public, because I just felt like everybody was looking at me as I, because I felt like I was lumbering around, you know. So all of these, you know, I had some really embarrassing experiences where I broke my dining room chair during my daughter's birthday party. You know, I got stuck in a restaurant booth. So some of these, you know, embarrassing experiences, they all kind of start to roll up into a big snowball until I just started to feel so frustrated and out of control, like, why can't I do anything about this, you know? But one day, finally, there was a turning point, and it was when I went to my doctor's office for a routine checkup. And it was when I was standing on the scale and the nurse was, you know, weighing me. And all of a sudden, I just kind of had, you know how sometimes your mind just reels so fast, you could never say things that fast, but going through my mind were things like, okay, I'm 300 pounds, like what's going to stop me from getting to 350 or 400? I mean, I really thought that. I thought, I have never been able to lose weight. All I've done is gain for all these years. And I started to think, okay, if I keep gaining weight, will I be able to be a good mother to my children, my three children I had at that point, you know, or would I, you know, like you mentioned, that weight of the nation, would I be eating myself into the grave, you know, prematurely and leave my children? And so those kind of thoughts really just kind of raced through my mind. And all during the appointment, I don't even remember what the doctor said, but I just remember afterwards thinking, I've got to do something, and I've got to do something today. And that was, that was the turning point for me, was that day at the doctor.
Okay. And what did you do? Can you think of what did you do? Did you start keeping a food diary? What were some of the first steps you did when you got home?
One of the first things I did was I sat down and I thought, I'm not joining Weight Watchers again. And I don't want to try some diet that I know is not going to work. So what I want to do, I thought to myself, is do this, see if I can do this on my own. So I actually made a little list of everything that I could think of that I already knew about weight loss. And I, like so many of us, I knew a lot because I had read so much. I had never really put it into practice all that I knew, you know. But I did know a lot. So I wrote down things like, you know, trigger foods, you know, this terms I would have heard at Weight Watchers are, you know, exercise and, you know, weight training and watching my fat and portions. And after I wrote down my little list, I thought, okay, this is falling into three categories. And so I thought, okay, that's what I'm going to do. So my three categories were exercise, which was going to be hard for me because it was hard for me to walk to my mailbox. And I thought, okay, that's one thing, exercise. And then I thought that I would watch the fat percentage in my overall diet, and I knew from all my reading that 30% was a good, healthy amount of fat, leaves you plenty of room for those good fats we need, you know, like monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fats. But I wasn't eating the good fats when I was heavy. I was eating fat from McDonald's hamburgers and french fries and milkshakes. So I knew that my fat intake was way out of control. And then I didn't want to count anything. I didn't want to count points. I didn't want to count calories. So I thought, okay, but I know that calories are important. So I decided that I would focus on portion size. So instead of counting calories, I would watch my portions and eat appropriate portions of the foods I wanted. Because when I had lost weight all the times before, I always thought of it as temporary, like so many people do. Even my own husband, he'll say, oh, you know, because he needs to lose some weight. He'll say, when I lose weight, I'm going to eat Breyer's ice cream. You know? And I tell him, I said, that's so the wrong attitude because, you know, Breyer's ice cream is kind of what got you into trouble, you know. So you've really got to switch that diet mentality and think I really have to do something different. I call it finding your new normal. You know, find that new normal for yourself. And that's what I did. I kind of found a new normal that really has sustained me through 14 years of maintaining my weight loss.
Okay. You have a segment in your book called The Tape Measure Was Too Short. So one of the things you do is measure yourself. I need to measure myself.
Yes. I think measuring ourselves is really important in the very beginning. It's not a pleasant experience for most of us, you know, but it's kind of one of those reality checks because it's so easy. I don't know if you're this way, but it was so easy for me to put things, to be in denial, you know, about how big I was. In fact, one of the stories I tell in my book is when we had a garage sale and I was selling some of my, you know, my overweight person clothes, my fat clothes, and I just had a few in there, and they had already sold, and this one lady came up to me, and she says, do you have any of your clothes? And I said, no, and she left, and I looked at her, because she was very overweight, and I asked my husband, I said, am I as big as she is? And he kind of hemmed and hawed around, you know, and he finally said, yeah, you kind of are. And I remember being devastated, you know, because in my mind, I wasn't quite as big as she was. You know, I thought that I was smaller, but apparently not. So taking a tape measure to yourself and writing down those measurements is a really great way to just kind of, I think, have some accountability for yourself and some acknowledgement of where you're starting from. But, you know, after that hard part, once you've lost some weight, then to take those measurements again and to see them come down can be very motivating because there are times when we are losing weight where we're kind of doing all the right things. You know, we're eating good, healthy foods and we're, you know, trying to exercise as much as we're capable, but we don't see the scale moving. But sometimes you can see a change in your waist. You know, like maybe you lost a quarter of an inch of your waist over the last, you know, 3 weeks, even though you haven't lost very many pounds. And that can help keep you motivated, you know, to continue trying to get to a healthier weight. So I think measuring yourself, and I always tell people to measure everything you can think of because everything changes. You know, on my website today, I wrote an article about how when I gained weight, my wedding rings got too small. So I had to resort to wearing a man's wedding ring to fit my finger, and how great it was that when one day I finally could slip my rings back on. You know, so those kind of things, you know, your finger size will change, you know, your neck will change, your wrist, your upper arms, you know, whatever you think of to throw that tape measure around. I always encourage people to do that and write it down.
Okay. You also put down goals and how you broke yours down into small increments. So let's talk about that.
It can be really overwhelming. I think if you have more than like 30 pounds to lose, it's overwhelming to say to yourself, I have to lose 50 pounds or 75, or in my case, you know, saying to myself, I have to lose half of what I weigh right now to get to a, you know, healthy weight is just, it seems insurmountable, because who can do that? I remember thinking that a lot of times when I would go to Weight Watchers and she would set me my goal weight, and I would think, who can do that? I don't think I can do that, and then I never could. So what I did that last time, I didn't set a bottom weight at all. I think for two reasons. One, because it seemed too far away, and the second reason was because I really wasn't sure I was going to do it. So instead I set little 5-pound goals. You know, I thought, well, I think I can lose 5 pounds, and then I would, and then I'd set that new goal weight 5 pounds less from there. And that was very attainable for me, and it was motivating because I didn't set that goal so far away that I thought I would never get there. You know, most of us can lose 5 pounds, and then, you know, you keep losing 5 pounds over and over, and then before you know it, you're getting close, you know, to where you need to be. So I think breaking out those goals is really important. And another part of goals, to me, is setting some non-scale goals for yourself. Some goals maybe in terms of your things you can do physically, you know, and you don't have to run a marathon, but even if walking upstairs is hard for people, it was for me. You know, I would always take the elevator or the escalator if I could. So, you know, one goal was to be able to walk up a flight of stairs without having to stop and rest at the top and catch my breath, you know, so it doesn't have to be some, I'm going to hike the mountain, but I'm just going to be able to climb this flight of stairs. And then you can set those goals differently as you start to get more fit. So a weight goal, a fitness goal, and I always encourage people to set personal goals for themselves too. You know, like, okay, I have that jacket that's been hanging in my closet and I haven't been able to wear it, and, you know, I'd like to put that on, or, you know, I'd like to, you know, go to dinner with my husband can be like a little goal reward for yourself when you've lost 10 pounds, or, you know, read a new book, buy a book from your favorite author or something. So, you know, set some other goals, some incentives for yourself along the way, too.
Okay. And you were saying you were afraid to fail.
Yes. I think this is very under-talked about in the weight loss world, because so many of us were constant dieters. I think I read a statistic that said over 60% of women on any given day will tell people that they're trying to lose weight. And with the obesity crisis in America so high, you know, I feel like that statistic is probably pretty valid. And so if you're continually trying to lose weight and you're never successful, over time it's almost frightening to try again. And I had little points in my obesity where I would kind of stop trying to lose weight and start to try to tell myself I was okay with being 275 pounds, you know. But fortunately, I didn't stay in that. I did, you know, overcome that fear of failure. And that last time I lost weight, I was really afraid to try again because I had tried hundreds of times to lose weight. I mean, literally. And that fear of failure is real. It's real personally to yourself, because every time you fail at something, you know, it's kind of harder to get up and try again. And then I had a fear of, you know, like, what will my husband think again? I mean, he was always extremely supportive, but I knew that it had to be a little disappointing to him when I would start out a diet all gung-ho, and then 2 weeks later I would quit, you know? And then I was also afraid of, like, what my friends would think if I failed again, because I knew they had to be tired of me telling them that I was trying to lose weight again. So I think just kind of being aware that that can be part of this weight loss challenge for us as Americans, that we are a little bit afraid to fail. But I always tell people, and I encourage them, that if you don't try again, you won't succeed, you know, and to really kind of put that fear of failure in perspective, like, think about it for yourself, like, what are your fears? Some people are also afraid of what their life might look like if they lost weight. I was talking to this one young girl not too long ago, and she said that she had lost 80 pounds and she still had about probably 70 or 80 to go. And she said, it's kind of scary for me as I lose weight because I'm getting some attention that she's not accustomed to, you know, from the opposite sex and from even, you know, people in her own family are starting to treat her differently. So that can be a fear in weight loss as well. Like, what will my life look like? You know, will people treat me differently when I'm at a different weight than my family and friends are accustomed to me being?
Right. Oh, well, you have a little part where you talk about misery loves company. And even though this was on weight loss, I've seen this pattern in my life, too, that a lot of times we have friends that love it when we have problems. They love it. They love to hold your hand. I mean, and we think that that's great that we have this friend that is just there through us, through thick and thin, but a lot of times they keep you sick. Keep you crazy. Keep you. And so tell your experience with your friend that did not support you when you lost weight.
You know, that was one of the most surprising things to me and really kind of came at me out of the blue because I would never have expected that to happen. And for your listeners, I had a friend that I had known since I was in college. We were in college together. And we were more acquaintances in college. You know, we kind of would, our paths would cross, and we were in some classes together, but we knew each other, and I would have considered her, you know, a casual friend. And then once we both got married in the same year, we reconnected as friends. We went to the same church, and our husbands liked each other, you know, so it was just really fun. We would go out all the time as couples, and we would play tennis. And of course, this is in my initial period before I had my first child, you know, when I was a little bit more active. And we would go out to dinner and just load up on food. And so she saw me begin to gain the weight. And then she saw me go from, you know, just pleasingly plump, I guess, to morbidly obese. So she was with me through that whole journey. Every time I was on a diet, she would try to encourage me, you know, that I could lose weight. And she was always a fairly normal size. But that last time that I lost weight and the weight actually started to come off, she never said a word to me about, never said an encouraging word to me. She never said, you're doing a great job, or that new size 18 dress looks good on you. Instead, I found out through other friends that she was saying snide comments about me behind my back. You know, she told one friend, she's like, well, she'll never be able to keep it off, you know. And then she would tell another friend, she's just obsessed with dieting. That's all she wants to do right now. You know, she's never going to be able to maintain this weight loss if she even gets down any further. And so one point, and I didn't write all this in my book, of course, because it would be really long, but at one point I did confront her and I said, you know, this is what so-and-so told me, and is this true? Did you say that? And she kind of, you know, hemmed and hawed around, but she kind of admitted that she did, and but she didn't mean it in a mean way, the way it sounded, you know. And I thought, okay, and I kind of gave her the benefit of the doubt, you know. And then I had put a picture of myself at a healthier weight up on my refrigerator. And she saw it, and she remembered me at that weight, you know, because it was when I was first married. And she said, what's that for? And I said, that's my inspiration picture. You know, I hope that I can look like that, only older, of course, someday. And she said, you can never look like that again. And I remember thinking that was so hurtful, you know, for her to say that, because I had really tried to always be encouraging to her, and to see her behave like this was really surprising to me. And so as I lost all the weight and got, you know, to the size that I am now, she was the one person who never said good job, you know. She's the one person who never, you know, said anything nice to me about to anybody else. And it really put a wedge in our relationship. And I really tried hard to sustain the relationship. But it just, I guess it just wasn't meant to be from that point on. We kind of drifted apart and then just ended up breaking off the friendship completely. And it was really unfortunate. And it's still one of those things that really saddens me because I think that, you know, you don't really ever want to say someone's jealous, but I think that was really probably the root of that, that issue. So, you know, supportive friends and having a good support group while you lose weight are face, like you said, any challenges in your life. It's really important to your mental and your physical health.
Right. I have friends now that are facing cancer and in my family, you know, and I've gone through it as a caregiver for my husband. That's where a lot of my extra weight came on. But and then he's, look, and then when the responsibility left, I had developed all these overeating bad. I mean, I have my vegetable meals and all that. I know all that stuff. I'm in all these health things. But I like junk. It's like little candy to chew while I'm working and chocolate and all this. So it's like you develop all these little bad habits. And when all your friends are fat, it's real hard. You know, I'm in a culture where we have a big issue with being big women. And we are right with it, but I'm really trying to get, because I didn't gain from having children. I kept my weight. I was about a 12 to 14 when I had children. But now I've just gotten bigger, bigger, bigger without, you know, and now I'm a grandmother, and I'd like to see my great-grandchildren.
Yes.
I have one granddaughter that's 18. She's coming to see me at the end of the month. And so I truly... No, and then from the show they had, they were showing that even your liver, they began to have to do liver transplants because of the obesity problem.
Right.
And it's really hard when you sometimes you just have to say, I'm not going to, you know, okay, so-and-so is bigger than me. I think that becomes your issue. You'll say, well, so-and-so is bigger than me, so mm-hmm. I'm not that bad, but you really can't look at who's big.
Right. That is such a great point, because you have to compare you to you, you know, because like in our culture, you know, there's so many of us are overweight that there's almost always somebody bigger than you, you know.
Yeah,
that is a great
when you
point.
See the people that are have to be cut out of their house,
right.
They have to go in, and it was so sad the woman had the surgery. And, you know, I don't recommend the surgery. I've had someone come on my show almost 7 years ago where her sister died from having that surgery, you know, the bariatric surgery. So, mm-hmm. you know, I wouldn't want to do that. But when you're seeing so many people having the surgery, you say, well, maybe that's good. But then I saw the side effects of it on these different documentaries. And then the people where the lady was 900, she had like a 14-year-old and maybe a 7-year-old. And here she died having the surgery, but she wanted people to know. And she was only 29, you know, but she wanted people to know. Right, it was on Oprah's network. I said, this is horrible how we are just getting so out of control. And I said, you know, you just have to catch it. And your book is just so good because you've got recipes in here. Tell us what your daily meal planning is like. How do you plan your meals?
I you know, when I lost weight, one thing I didn't want to do was eat differently than my family, because I had tried that before, you know, the diet meals and all that, you know, the frozen meals or preparing my own food and letting them have something else. So it was really important to me as I lost weight just to learn how to cook healthy. And so, you know, all the foods that we were eating before, I was like you. I'm very much like you, where we would get our vegetables, you know, and the good food. I just overate the junk. That was my problem, as just very similar to what you were sharing. Although I really did like fast food. I don't know if you do, but I was kind of, you know, it was so easy to go through the drive-thrus even in the middle of the day when I totally had already eaten lunch. So, you know, we had some healthy, you know, basic foods. So when I lost the weight, I thought, okay, I want to cook for my family healthy so I can teach them some good habits, and I want to be able to eat whatever they eat. You know, I don't want to have to eat salad and they're having something else. So today, we eat relatively healthy. Like I always tell people, I'm not a food Nazi in my house. You can ask my kids. We have dessert. They have chips sometimes. You know, we have popsicles. You know, but with that, we also have a lot of whole grains. I we make our own bread, you know, so the bread that we eat, I actually mill the wheat berries, and I have a mill, and it turns the wheat berries into flour, and then I actually make, you know, real whole wheat breads. Well, that's what we eat our sandwiches on, and, like, we do not eat lunch meat. I don't think the nitrates are good for the kids, and it's too much salt. They don't need that, so instead what I'll do, because we've got 9 in our family, all my kids are still at home, so I'll roast a chicken or just bake some chicken breasts, and then I slice the meat really thin, you know, so we'll have chicken sandwiches with, you know, chicken that I've made instead of the lunch meat, or we'll do the same thing with turkey. And we do a lot of, so for lunch, like the kids might have sandwiches, or sometimes they'll have bagels, or sometimes we'll do whole wheat wraps with black beans and rice in them, you know, for lunch. And then sometimes I'll buy tortilla chips because they're a little lower in fat and calories than you know, like a Cheeto. And other times I'll make my own tortilla chips by just cutting up the whole wheat tortillas into triangles, and I cook them at 450 in the oven until they're pretty crisp, and then so they use those as chips. You know, so things like that is kind of our lunch things. And we'll have, like, egg salad, but I'll use mustard and Greek yogurt or hummus instead of mayonnaise. So we'll have those kind of things for lunch with the kids. And then we always have fruit, and we try to have some kind of vegetable for lunch. A lot of times we'll have just, like, baby carrots or, you know, sliced cucumbers. We just try to do, you know, a healthy balance for lunch. For breakfast, I do not like to cook breakfast. I'll just be the first one to admit that. Occasionally I'll make pancakes, you know, whole wheat pancakes or something, but most of the time we have cereal with skim milk for breakfast or oatmeal. You know, I guess I feel like with a big family I cook enough and everybody can get their own breakfast. And then for dinner, I stopped eating beef when I got sick from a hamburger that I had in a restaurant a lot of years ago. So we don't eat any beef, and we don't eat pork. So we do probably about four meals a week are vegetarian, and the other three I'll do something with chicken. And I try to, you know, make it fun. We'll have an Asian night where I'll stir-fry some chicken and some Asian vegetables, you know, from frozen vegetables. I'll stir-fry some of those in the wok and make brown rice, and we'll have that for dinner. And then we'll have a little fortune cookies, you know, which is a little treat for the kids, and that's fun. Or we'll have, like, Mexican night, or we'll do, you know, Italian. You know, so I really try to make it fun, you know, for the family to eat well and for them to never feel deprived, you know, but to realize there's so many choices besides restaurant meals that that we can have. And, you know, I'm teaching my girls know how to cook, and my next oldest son, you know, is starting to learn, you know, how to make his own food, because I think that's so important and something a lot of us have gotten away from with our busy lifestyles. It's just being able to prepare the food yourself and have that control over what's in your food and what you're putting in your body.
Yes, it makes a difference. When mm-hmm. you pick up something to eat, you don't know what kind of oils they use. I know olive oil is one of the things I like to stir fry with, and mm-hmm. you know, I do a lot of meals now that are meatless too. So, I mean, your food things. Now, when you do Mexican food, what do you do? Like, I don't even eat the meat in the tacos now. When I do have Mexican food, I just like the salsa.
The salsa is so great. We do generally two different things for Mexican night. Sometimes I will do, I'll cook some rice, and then I'll put, I'll have some cooked chicken, like, that I've done before, because I'm all about, like, preparing ahead of time, because I have too many kids to just try to get in there every night and try to cook. So I'll have some chicken that I've already cooked and shredded, and so I'll put the rice in a skillet, and then I'll put some chicken in there, and then I put salsa on top of that, and I mix it all together, and then I stuff the tortillas with that, and they love that. And, you know, it's so filling that they can't eat very much, you know, because between the rice, the carbohydrates from the rice and then the protein from the chicken and the salsa gives it a good kick. And so that's one way we do Mexican. Another way we do them is I do black beans, and I generally try to avoid canned beans because of the sodium. It's just ridiculous in them. So I'll get a huge thing of black beans, and I'll cook them, and then I freeze them. So whenever we want beans, I already have all different kinds sitting in my freezer. So I'll just defrost those, and we'll do black beans, and I add some tomatoes and green peppers to them, and my secret ingredient is a splash of white vinegar, and it kind of gives them a little tart taste, and then I'll put those in the tortillas with just a little tiny sprinkle of cheddar cheese, and we'll roll those up, and all my kids love them. And they're filling and really healthy. So we have a vegetarian Mexican, and then we have a, you know, with chicken. And then sometimes we'll do fajitas where I'll stir fry peppers and onions together with, you know, sliced chicken, and we'll do that too. But that takes a little more work, so that I have to kind of be ready for that one, you know, because I can't even tell you. Sometimes I'll make like 20 tortillas for dinner, you know, for my crew. So. But, yeah.
I wanted to ask you, it said you were featured on Dr. Oz's show. You know, we all love Dr. Oz.
Oh, yes. He was fabulous.
When did you go on his show? That's big.
It was big. It was really interesting because I, as you know, as a, you know, very prolific author, and you know, it's, you have to kind of have an agent. At least you do these days. I don't know, but that's what I found. And I had been sending my, you know, little resume around, my little letter to the agents, and I had one agent who's now my agent call me, and she said, "I like your story. I like that you're a mom. I like that you have a website. I like all these things about you, but you're not known." And I said, "What does that mean?" She's like, "You need a platform." And I said, "What's that?" You know? And she says, "You really need to be on some kind of national show." And I thought to myself, "Yeah, right. Like, who can do that?" You know. So I took her advice, and I just on the Dr. Oz show, they have a contact me page, you know, like so many websites do. And so I just put in my email address, and they only give you a little short space for your story. And so I put a few lines about my story. And I forgot about it. And I think it was about 3 months later, kind of out of the blue, I got a phone call from them and said, "Would you like to be on the show?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah." And in the meantime, Shape Magazine called me. They found me through my website, and they said, "Would you like to be in the magazine?" So then I called that agent back, and I said, "Okay, I'm in Shape Magazine. I'm going to be on Dr. Oz." And she said, "I'll be happy to be your agent."
Okay. Yeah, you have to have something to pitch. I'm an agent, and...
Yeah,
I'm really saying now that that's the platform is almost bigger than the book. So had you written your book when you contacted the agent?
I actually had it done because in my mind I thought if I couldn't find an agent, I was just going to self-publish. So I did have it done, although I think the finished product with an agent and a publisher is much better than if I had tried to do it on my own.
Okay,
you know,
so this is under a company. I see Sunrise River Press.
Right.
Did your book. They did a great job. It's a beautiful cover.
Thank you. Yeah. So my good friend John Perkins here, local photographer, did the picture on the front and the back cover for me. And he did an amazing job. But so anyway, so then the Dr. Oz show, they called me and they said they were doing a show, their 100th show. They wanted it to be 100 people who had lost 100 pounds or more. And so they picked four of us to be on the stage with Dr. Oz. And I was lucky enough to be one of those people. So they flew me to New York, put us up in a really nice hotel. My best friend from Atlanta met me there, so I wouldn't be by myself. So that was really fun to have her there. And they, you know, we went up to the studio the day before the shooting, and we recorded some of the voiceovers in the very beginning of the show. And then we left, and then the next day they brought us back early that morning. All of us, they bussed us over there. And I got to have my hair and makeup done. I was in the same room with Richard Simmons. He was there getting his hair done, his makeup. That was fun. And, you know, you kind of felt like a movie star for a day. And then the producers came into the green room, which isn't green, at least not at the Dr. Oz show. And they, I don't think that's funny why they call it that, but they had little muffins for us and water, and they kind of prepped us, you know, okay, these are the questions he's going to ask. And they kind of rehearsed our answers because, as you know, television is, you know, it's all about the sound bite. So they wanted, of course, short answers, but they had a lot of content in them. So, and then they took us onto the stage before the show, and they had us each practice coming out and where to stand. You know, and they said, "You'll have Dr. Oz here, and then you're going to sit here," you know. And so I remember asking the cameraman who was kind of going over all this with us, I said, "What if we make a mistake?" And he just looked at me, like, straight in my face, and he said, "You won't make a mistake." And I thought, okay, I won't. Because <You know? laughs> I knew he was telling me, don't make a mistake, you know. So that was a really, really fun experience, and everybody was super nice, and Dr. Oz was so kind. And it, one thing that I thought was probably the most interesting thing or positive thing I thought was when I was talking to one of his producer people, I said, "So what's he like to work with?" And she said, "You know what?" She said, "He really does live his life just like he talks on TV." She said, he exercises faithfully, and he eats only healthy foods. She said he eats nothing white, no white rice, no sugar, no white flour. She said everything he eats is just like he tells us to eat, you know, on the show, healthy foods. So I thought that was really great. You know, he's living just like he says he is.
Well, that's great. Mm-hmm. Well, give out your blog. I see you have a popular blog. I'd like you to give that out. And if you have, do you have a website as well?
I do. They're both interconnected, and it's fittothefinish.com. It's all one word, all spelled out. And there I have lots of before and after pictures, and I have a lot of recipes on there. And I have my blog where I write three times a week, and I don't sell anything on there, so people can go there without worrying they're going to get a sales pitch. It's just, you know, just all information about my journey. And I have a lot of readers that write great comments that I often learn more, you know, from my readers, what they write, than I ever knew before. So it's a great, great way to join a community, you know, to get encouragement and support from people who are just right there, you know, understand what it's like.
Yes. How often did you weigh when you were really seriously losing your 150 pounds?
You know, I know that this is not popular, but I'm just going to say it anyway. I weighed every day. I know that people say don't, but for me, it was really an accountability thing. And I didn't hop on the scale 10 times a day. I'd weigh in the morning, and then that was it. You know, so I don't feel like I was obsessed with the scale. And I did have to, say this as a caveat, I did have to realize that normal fluctuations happen with our weight, especially as women, you know, as we go through monthly cycles or hormonal fluctuations. You know, we can be doing all the right things with our food and our exercise, and our weight can shift, you know. So I really kind of had to train myself that those fluctuations were okay, and what I was looking for was like a downward trend, you know, like a line on a graph. You know, there might be some ups and downs, you know, within that as your weight goes up and down. But overall, you know, I just looked for the downward trend. And honestly, Dr. Thompson, after 14 years, I still weigh every day. And I think that's been a really important part of my maintenance, is just keeping up with that weight, you know, not letting myself deny if I've gained a few pounds, because it's so much easier to lose 2 or 3 pounds than it is 7 or 9 pounds, you know, or 17 pounds, you know, because it can slip up without you really paying attention to it.
Okay, well, that's good. I weigh every day, and it's helpful, but I do weigh. And I don't know if loss of a thyroid makes a difference. Seems like it has. I lost my thyroid. I had to have it removed 3 years ago. And it seems like that's made a big difference, too.
Yes,
I had to have it taken out, and I did my show and couldn't speak, and just thank goodness all my guests would come out and do most of the talking. I lost my voice for almost 4 months, but I continued to move on, but now I'm just going to have to work around it, just like I did around the show. I said, I've got to stop using that for an excuse, but I've seen it makes a difference. And, and also, did you develop any pre-diabetes when you were 300 pounds?
I did not. I was very fortunate, but I know realistically that if I had continued to be overweight, I was probably just young enough, because I was 31 when I lost the weight.
Okay.
You know, I was probably just young enough that if I had been 40, you know, I bet I would have had some more problems. My blood pressure was creeping up, and I was having a lot of joint pain, which all disappeared after I lost the weight. So I feel like I was fortunate that I lost the weight when I did.
Yes, it is easier to lose when you're younger, too. I wanted to ask you, it says that you had an adoption reunion. Could you talk about that? I did see it in the book.
Yeah, I didn't talk about it a lot in the book, but I sure did. Several months after I started my journey to lose the weight, I got a phone call on a Thursday night out of the blue, and the woman on the other line said, I'm looking for Diane Smith, which was my maiden name, and I said, this is she. I said, but, you know, I'm married now. And she said, well, my name is Sherry, and I gave birth to you on August 23rd. And anyway, so she proceeds to tell me that she has hired someone to find me. And I just couldn't believe it. I remember just, like, looking at my husband across the room and mouthing the words, it's my birth mother, you know, across the living room. And it was just one of those, you know, amazing experiences. But on the other hand, it was really hard to stay focused with the weight loss during that time because it was like an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think because I had started to lose weight by just using really simple plan, you know, I wasn't trying to keep track of 1,000 calories a day or eating unhealthy or, you know, I just kind of kept doing what I was doing while I was struggling, you know, to figure all this out with the whole birth-parent reunion thing. And so I always, you know, encourage people. I know, you know, life happens. Unexpected things happen. And we can use those things to, you know, make our weight. We can use those things as an excuse to eat, you know, when those traumatic things happen to us.
Right.
But it's really important just to continue doing what you know you should be doing, because you're going to feel better physically, even if emotionally things are hard. If you're, 'cause food offers a very temporary comfort for us, you know, but after you've eaten the Big Mac and the French fries, you know, for me, I can't speak for everybody, but for me, I would feel guilty after that. Why did I eat that, you know? I didn't need that. I didn't really want that. But, you know, at the moment, it seemed like it would help me feel better, you know.
Yes. It's difficult when you reach for the wrong thing. I was reaching for chocolate at the store, and I called this guy an angel. He was a stranger, and he chastised me Saturday. I made a special trip to get chocolate. And he said, put that down. They have a gym that's, you know, so I obviously look fat, too. You know,
oh.
I've been tall all my life, so I, you know, I think I can hide a little more weight, but I can't even hide it anymore. So
oh.
He's there. But, you know, and I put it away. I left it alone. I did get the trail mix with a little few little pieces of chocolate in
right,
it. So I'm
trying
right. to, what I'm trying to do is just gradually cut, and I've been eating half of portions. What were some of the tricks that you use? I'm eating half of whatever I have on my plate.
Yes, that's a good one. That is a very good one. Or to fill most of your plate with the vegetables and the salad and a little, you know, and some fruit, and then just leave a little bit of room for, you know, a piece of bread if you're a bread person, you know, and your meat. So I think, you know, that's a really good trick, what you're doing. Another thing I think is really important, especially for at the beginning, because in today's society, I think we've really become desensitized to what a standard portion really is. You know, our grandparents, if I don't know how your grandparents were, or your parents, they didn't eat as much as we do these days.
Right.
You know, like when my grandmother would come visit me, you know, she would be so satisfied with just a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And if I had a dessert, she would say, oh, just half a cookie, honey. You know? And
yeah.
I would think, half a cookie? I want eight. You know?
Right. They weren't obese either. My mother weighed about 165 when she died. That was after seven children, and maybe 150. She wasn't that big. And neither was my grandmother. So they did eat a lot.
Yeah.
They say the bagels are larger than the bagels from 10 years ago. Everything is so much bigger. The drinks that they serve at McDonald's. I was never a big McDonald's fan. So.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. But, and I always cook for my children, so I'm happy that I was a cooker. And so I'm glad that you realize that it's cheaper when you have a family to cook. But I see that the younger generation, see it with my children, that sometimes they like to pick up fast food for their children, and
right.
you know, I know it's just not as healthy.
No, it's just not. And then, you know, like you were saying about the portions, then those kids, the kids get accustomed to the bigger portions, you know, and so that, of course, contributes to weight problems. So it's kind of a cycle, isn't it, where it just, you know, kind of they get used to the bigger portions, so they think that's what they should eat. And then they do, and they gain weight. And then it becomes hard to readjust back to what a portion is. So I do encourage people to use your measuring cups, because really look and see, like, what is a half a cup of cereal? It's not very much, you know.
Right.
Or to really take advantage of the food labels. You know, they're not great, but they do give you a lot of information on there, you know. And if you're, you know, have some crackers or nuts or something, look on the food label, and if the nuts are 2 tablespoons of nuts has about 100 calories or so, I think, you know, you measure out 2 tablespoons and you think, okay, I really could eat 8 of those. You know, just reach your hand into the nut container and grab a handful. And nuts are good for you, but those are one of those foods you really have to be careful, the portions, because they're so calorie dense. You know, whereas if you have a lot of carrots, that's going to be okay because they hardly have any calories. But so some of those kind of foods I think to be aware of that are really calorie dense are just give you a lot of calories for not a lot of satisfaction. You know, like chips or crackers, you know, aren't really all that filling. Peanut butter is another one to watch out for because every tablespoon has about 90 calories. So if you're, you know, making a sandwich with 3 or 4 tablespoons of peanut butter or, you know, putting peanut butter on crackers, it's easy to eat more than you think you are with that.
How about your 12-week exercise plan with cardio and strength training?
I put that in there because I think it's important for people to see that I exercised and lost 150 pounds by walking. People will tell you, you can't lose weight walking. And I always tell them whenever I meet them, now you've met somebody, you can tell your friends, you can lose 150 pounds walking if that's how much weight you need to lose. So I put a walking plan in there because I think it's important that you can start slow. I certainly could not walk quickly when I was 300 pounds. I was very slow, like a 2-year-old could have beat me, you know, but every morning I got out there and I thought, I can walk for 10 minutes, right? I could do that. So that's why I put the plan in there. And there's 2 levels in there for complete beginners and then for people that are a little more advanced but want to learn how to be a little more intense with their walking because that's what I do now. I'm very fast walker now. Like you'd have a hard time catching up with me probably if you weren't also a fast walker. So when I walk for exercise, I'm one of these people you might laugh at with my arms pumping, you know, and my legs going, you know. I'm sure my neighbors laugh at me, but I don't care. So I put those plans in there. And then the strength training, I just put some really simple, you know, very basic strength training moves that you can do at home. Because I never joined a gym. When I was overweight, the last thing you would have found, last place you would have found me was the beach or the gym, you know. So everything I have ever done has been at home. So I, you know, you can get a simple set of weights at Goodwill. A lot of times you can pick them up, you know, a secondhand store, or they're not all that expensive at Walmart, you know, and a little resistance bands and a stability ball, and you have all that you need to really get in shape. And especially as we age, it's so important to keep your muscles strong because muscle burns calories a little faster than fat. And we lose muscle as we age. So it's kind of a vicious cycle. You know, you lose muscle, you don't build it, and then you, you know, it makes it a little easier to gain weight.
Okay, and I'm looking at your pictures. You know, you look younger now than you did with the weight. I can see the babiness in your face.
Thank
you. I'd say you really look younger. No, everyone can look younger, you know. And I'm kind of at the age where I don't worry about, oh, I want to look, you know, like I did when I was 20, 30, 40, even 50. But I do want to lose weight for my health because
right.
It's life-threatening from what I'm seeing, you know, with the diabetes, with the high blood pressure.
Right. And it can contribute to heart disease. I mean, the obesity, the illnesses that can come from being obese are serious. And, you know, but the great thing is it's never too late to lose weight. When I was on the Dr. Oz show, I met a lady who was, I think she was 78, and she had lost over 100 pounds, and she had kept it off for 8 years. So when she was 70, she lost over 100 pounds. She looked like a completely different person, and she said she had more energy than she had when she was 50. So she was such an inspiration when I met her. I thought, wow, because people, it is harder to lose weight as you age, but she proved you could do it, and she didn't do anything crazy. You know, she just started eating a better diet and trying to get more physically active, you know, within what she was able to do. So she looked great.
Yes, I'm sure it gives you a lot more energy. They have a senior exercise class I was going to, but I broke my leg and I've been out the cast for about 2 months now. Well, it took forever to heal, too, because of the weight.
Oh.
And I've been out of the boot for a couple of months now. So I've been walking, and that's helped. And
good.
I go to it's called Global Cardio Care, where they pump the bottom half of your body. You lose weight, and they talk about all the diet things you should do, and they really push vegetarianism. And, you know, they have a lot of things that are very helpful, but it's still I like how you did it. It's still what you do at home that makes a big difference.
Right. I always, you know, tell people who's holding the fork, right? It's choices that you make. And sometimes that's hard to accept, you know, and I've known a lot of people, they've been, you know, and I was the same way. It was so hard for me to accept, like, that this was my problem, that I had done this. And, you know, I was the only one really that could get me out of it. So, you know, I was, when you're holding that fork, is this the best food for my body right now? And, you know, you kind of train yourself to think that, and I still think that to this day, because I still would, there's certain foods I won't have in the house. Like, I will not have Oreos in my house, because for whatever reason, I love those things. And I think I really still, right this minute, could probably eat a whole bag. I might get sick, but I probably would just eat them, you know? So there's certain foods that, like, I know I don't need to have around. And, you know, so as you're, you know, walking this path, you just kind of have to find, are there foods that I just really can't have? So if I ever really wanted Oreos while I was losing weight, because I'm not one into depriving yourself, I would buy the little six-pack, you know, the small ones that you might put in a kid's lunch or something, and I would give each of my daughters two, and then that would leave two for me. You know, and that way I had my little Oreo fix, but I wasn't eating an entire bag of Oreos, which had happened many times. So, you know, I think just as you eat every day, just think, is this the best food for me? You know, just train yourself to ask yourself that question. You know, over time you'll start to be like, yes, this is, you know, or no, this isn't, but I'm just going to have a taste, you know, instead of, whereas before I might have had a big piece or something. So kind of shift your thinking a little bit, you know, probably go a long way.
Well, have you had any book signings since your book came out?
I had a small book signing. I just came back from New York yesterday, where I was at a Women's Health and Fitness Expo, and I was main speaker there, and we had a little book signing, so I got to sign a few books, and that was pretty exciting. And then I just found out that next month I'm going to be on the 700 Club on their television show. So doing a segment, so hopefully we'll get the word out about my book and that everybody can lose weight. I always tell people, if I can lose 150 pounds, they can lose their 20 or 30 or whatever it is they need to lose.
Yes, your book is very encouraging. I'm keeping it on my desk, and each day I've been, you know, gradually doing things. I guess I've lost 4 or 5 pounds, but, you know, I'm just going to take it 5 pounds increments.
Good, good. I'm so glad to hear that.
Yes,
so glad.
It's just what I needed, and I'd like you to give out your websites again and also tell where your books are available and give the title one more time.
Wonderful. My website is fittothefinish.com, and my book is available anywhere you like to buy books online. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or through the publisher Sunrise River Press.
Okay, well, I saw that you had, I think you had one review on Amazon. It was 5-star, so that
all
was
right.
Good. Yeah, so please go out and buy the book. I know a lot of people online, they're putting their weight, their scale up on Facebook and showing when they're losing. And,
yeah.
You know, so this could be a supplement to those who are already on diets and for those who have given up. And I know it really was encouragement for me when I saw your book. And your book is simple and easy to follow, and it's, you know, I was going to join a group again, and I see where you say you join Weight Watchers so many times.
Yes.
So that made me feel good, because I've been back and forth to Weight Watchers. I've tried it all, Lindor, all of it. My doctor even sent me there, and it didn't do any good.
You have to be ready. You know, you just got to be ready to make those changes.
Yes. Okay. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show, Diane, and I wish you all the best with your book, and shoot me an email when you're going to be on that, what's that, the 700?
700 Club.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I will.
I'd like to watch it. I have all types of cable channels. So
okay.
I'm trying to find it.
All wonderful.
Right.
All right.
Have a great day, and thanks again for coming on the show.
You too. Thank you, Dr. Thompson.
All right. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Please return next week to the Dr. Thompson Show. Love you all. Bye-bye.